for argument this morning is Appeal 24-1006, Indiana Land Trust 3082 versus Hammond Redevelopment. Good morning, Mr. Carroll.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, and may it please the Court. Jeff Carroll on behalf of the appellants. Land Trust, also refer to them as the Abaziers, who benefit from the trust. So the Abaziers are today appealing the district court's dismissal, the Indiana Northern District's dismissal of multiple constitutional claims related to what's really a basic, pretty basic set of alleged facts.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr.
Sure,
Carroll, but before you go too far, could you tell us, please, what the status of the state condemnation proceedings is? I know at the time of briefing, they were still ongoing. Has anything changed?
No, nothing's changed, Your Honor. No.
Thank you.
No. So the district court dismissed the Abazir's substantive due process claim via an order dated last April, and then later amended that complaint, and then that later amended complaint pleading or alleging equal protection violations that was dismissed via an order in December of 2023. Final judgment entered shortly after. The Abaziers own a fireworks store in Hammond, Indiana. It's down the road near the Illinois state line. The store sits on a major north-south street in Lake County, Indiana. That's Indianapolis Boulevard. Behind the boulevard and the Abazir store to their west is a residential area known as the Water Gardens neighborhood of Hammond, Indiana. The defendants, which include the Hammond Redevelopment Commission, the mayor of Hammond, the city, and various employees in their individual and official capacities, have attempted to exercise their Indiana state eminent domain power to condemn the property that the building this fireworks and tobacco store sits upon, purportedly to construct a road, an alleyway that connects the neighborhood and the boulevard. As alleged in our complaint, and this is important, the road was never intended to be built, and defendants actually seek, the other fact that's relevant here is the defendants seek to take an entire parcel rather than just the area that would be needed to connect this alley to the roadway, the neighborhood to the roadway, excuse me. So the Abazir's core allegation here is that they're being targeted by the defendants because they're not political supporters of the mayor of Hammond, and that the condemnation would in fact benefit the mayor's political supporters. Some of those political supporters.
Whether the road is intended, why is that not an argument that should be made to the state court? That the road is not intended to be built. I mean, for us, that doesn't make any difference whatsoever. I mean, I don't think under our case law it doesn't matter. As long as Hammond says we intend to build the road, that's it for us.
So we are making that argument at the state court level in response to the taking Your Honor knows, and then the state court said
they haven't taken anything yet here, so you have a real trouble with a substantive due process claim because they haven't done anything.
They have, so our claim is that, as Your Honor stated, that they're never going to build the road, right?
Right.
And
maybe they won't.
And we've pled that they don't intend to build the road.
And maybe they don't.
Right, so.
But why does that matter for the federal court?
So that matters for the federal court because I think at that point, it would swallow the entire ability to challenge any such taking
in federal court, but not in state court, because I think you can challenge the condemnation proceedings in state court by saying that this is not their intent. They don't intend to build a road. They can't put a road here. Whatever. They can't put a road. Okay, there's a river. They can't put a road. That would affect the condemnation proceedings, but that would not create a substantive due process claim.
We think it would, because our argument is that it would, the idea that, I mean, the standard for substantive due process claim is that it shocks the conscience, correct? And so our argument is that if the city or any government entity is making the claim, is condemning property because for saying they're going to build a road, when in fact they're never going to build a road, that would shock the conscience right
but
there.
But what's the substantive due process right at issue? It can't just be shocks the conscience. In order to have a substantive due process claim, you have to have the recognized right up front. And it can't be the taking, because nothing's been taken yet.
I think that the substantive due process right...
What's the protected life, liberty, or property at issue for your substantive due process claim?
To not have the property, I guess, condemned for false
It's a
purposes.
Taking. Nothing's been taken yet. So it doesn't seem like you have a protected life, liberty, or property at issue in order to make the due process shocks the conscience argument.
So our argument, Your Honor, is that the process itself, being subjected to the process itself, damages
the Supreme Court has been very clear that substantive due process is a limited area and we should not expand it. Is there any case that supports what you're now claiming is your protected life, liberty, or property at issue?
Regarding the substantive due process, Your Honor, I admit that I do not have one handy for me right now. But we're also we've also made an equal protection argument.
Isn't the equal protection argument essentially there can't be a rational basis because they didn't follow the law, and there's no rational basis not to follow the law? Isn't that where every taking is going to wind up somehow in federal court now?
No, because the equal protection argument is that there are similarly situated properties, right? So this stretch of road has... You have the fireworks store here on Indianapolis Boulevard in Hammond. To the south of that, you have vacant land that goes on for blocks and blocks. North of that, you have vacant lot property that goes on for blocks and blocks. Part of that vacant property also includes a pathway that is still owned by the city that once did contain, that was once a roadway connecting the neighborhood to Indianapolis Boulevard. So, no, I don't think that every single taking would implicate equal protection, because you're not always going to have the instance where you have similarly situated comparators who are not being treated the same way. That's what brings it under equal protection.
Do you want to save the rest of your time for rebuttal? It's up to you. You're into your
Sure, I'm
time.
Just making
yeah,
sure that I know the clock's ticking, right, Your Honor? Yeah, I will, but let me just to close on the equal protection in particular. So the argument is, we have the fireworks store here. There's all this land that's way more conducive to this, and yet we're being targeted out of political animus and to benefit not only the surrounding property owners, but also the mayor's, another of the mayor's supporters is a fireworks store owner in the city, so it would benefit him as well. He's not a comparator because he's not similarly situated. But our contention is that we are, you know, the Abazir's fireworks store is being targeted. They don't need that much land, and there's land they already own that they could put this, that's better, and there's land, vacant land, that would serve the purpose more so. And we're simply being targeted to benefit a private purpose. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll. Mr. Johnson, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. Of course, that's the oldest argument. For every landowner, make sure that public improvement is put on somebody else's land. As you can tell by reading the briefs, and particularly the appellant's brief and their reply, it's generously larded with references to Indiana state decisions dealing with the exercise of the power of eminent domain. They are in court, in the Lake Superior Court, having asserted a number of objections to the taking. And they cite here cases from the state of Indiana which provide that if you have an ill motive, if you have a bad motive, if you're taking more property than you're entitled to, if you are not taking it for a public use but rather for a private use, all of those are properly asserted objections under the 1911 Eminent Domain Act, and those will defeat the take. All you have to do is read one of the cases they cite, Derloschen. which is from the 1968 Indiana Supreme Court. And there those objections are made. The trial court says we're not going to hear them. And the Supreme Court said, if these are objections carry the day, this take, City of Fort Wayne, is defeated because you are taking for using the public power to take for the benefit of a stainless steel company. And that's a private use. All of that is in their briefs. So what they basically are trying to do is infuse into a constitutional case, the constitutional issues are not there, Indiana eminent domain law, which they have a clear opportunity to present to the trial court. And that, of course, defeats the substantive due process claim, because whether we go back to Bettendorf, to Synergy, to 145 LLC, I think it's Fisk LLC, decided in 2021. All of those cases provide that if you're making a substantive due process claim and you have a state remedy, you have to comply with the state remedy. And Synergy decided in 2014, the court there says, you know, you could have filed a writ of mandamus, Mr. Appellant. Well, this isn't the case here. This is a recognized action commenced by the city to exercise its statutory rights, and you're in that case defending, making the very same objections that you're making here. So the substantive due process claim, which was resolved by the district court on a futility issue with regard to their third amended complaint, was basically that you have to show under the due process clause that the actions taken against your property are arbitrary and irrational, or they shock the conscience. And the court there said, exercising your power of eminent domain is a legitimate state action, and that is rational. But there's a better way, I think, to resolve all of this by looking at Bettendorf, at Synergy, at 145 Fisk LLC, which say if there is a state procedure that is available to you, you don't have a substantive due process claim. Now, with regard to the equal protection, the class of one claim, that too can be resolved on the basis of the legitimacy, the rationality of the exercise of the power of eminent domain. And here, the appellants completely fuzz over what the standard is. The court below properly analyzed whether or not there is a rational basis, because there is no suspect class, because there's no fundamental right here. So we're dealing with a rational basis analysis for why was my property picked and not the guy next door or the guy down the street. And what the court there looked at was, are there comparators? It didn't find any, but it really focused on the issue of rationality. And remember, Flying J, which was decided by this court, it's I think at 549 Fed 3rd, 547, the court says the court's job is to look at any conceivable rational basis. Any conceivable rational basis. And so the district court below reached a very, very simple conclusion. It is a conceivable rational basis for the city of Hammond to want to condemn this property in order to make, to provide a roadway that would connect the Water Gardens part of the Robertsdale subdivision in the city of Hammond with Indianapolis Boulevard. And in order to do that, they're going to require going through your property. Then the issue becomes, well, and you heard it already today, you're taking too much. You shouldn't take as much. Well, that's the offices of eminent domain, and that's going to be an issue that's going to be decided by the state court. You should locate it somewhere else. We've been targeted. Well, that's also an issue for the state court to decide where this improvement is going to be located. And, oh, by the way, if you're taking it for a private use, you can't do it. Derloschen allows you to argue that and to present evidence with regard to that. And you cannot take the property and then not put the improvement in. The statute specifically provides for that. So for this case to be in federal court, we have to turn local property law upside down. And we have to make this court, or the court below, a state court with regard to determining the wisdom and the necessity of a taking. And I think the courts have been pretty clear that that is not a proper office for a federal court, and it certainly doesn't amount to some sort of constitutional violation. There isn't a constitutional violation here. And the only one that's cognizable, the only one that makes any sense in this context, is, of course, the Fifth Amendment, the right to just compensation. And these folks are going to receive just compensation. There's only two things that can happen to them, neither of which amount to a constitutional injury. The proceedings in the Lake Superior Court are going to go forward, and they're going to prevail. If they prevail, there's no taking. Proceedings go forward, and the city prevails. The city doesn't get to take the property until it pays the award of appraisers. In other words, this isn't a regulatory taking. This isn't an exaction. The city hasn't taken anything, and they can't take anything unless they pay compensation. And under the statute, the city can't even enter the property until they pay the award of the appraisers, and that doesn't stop the landowner from going forward, filing exceptions and having a jury trial on the inadequacy of the amount of money so that they can get even more.
Is the state proceeding stayed?
No.
While this is going
on? No.
It doesn't look like anything has moved.
Yeah. No one has moved. That's the better way to put it. There's been no formal action. This matter, for want of a better term, I think everyone is giving it priority in order to have it resolved before we go forward with the state proceedings. There's just no constitutional issue here. No taking, no injury. The Fifth Amendment controls, the statute protects them, and they'll have every right to do whatever they have to be done. And trying to shoehorn this into substantive due process, or trying to shoehorn it into equal protection for a class of one, simply doesn't work.
Thank you. Mr. Carroll.
Sure. Briefly, Your Honor, just a couple points to hit following Appelli's argument. Appelli mentioned the Flying J case. It's rational, if there's any conceivable rational basis. In this case, the rational basis provided, which is the building of a roadway, we don't contest. Look, building of a road that's a public purpose. That's what government does. They build schools, they build roads, they preside over court cases. Our complaint, the Abazir's complaint, alleges, again, that there's not going to be a roadway built. It's never going to happen. That's the allegation of the complaint has to be taken as true. The district court then supplied the rational basis that contradicts that allegation. So that's our argument. Not that a roadway is not a proper purpose. Of course it is, but we're saying that roadway is never going to be built. That's the allegation. We can go to discovery. We can figure out whether that road's ever going to be built. But our allegation that should survive a 12B6 motion is that the road's never going to be built. As far as just compensation goes, sure, in the state court, if the Abazirs win, or excuse me, if they win, it never gets built, right? If they lose, they get just compensation. But just compensation doesn't make them whole for the constitutional violations that we're alleging here, which are that, you know, equal protection, substantive due process. Those have value as well, whether they're nominal, and then the jury can decide what the value of that constitutional deprivation is. We'll see, but that's a jury issue. Just compensation doesn't take care of it all. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The court will take the case under advisement, and that concludes our oral arguments for this morning.